Let me just make one or two observations before getting started. The first observation that I'd like to make, I was in the midst of going over some things last evening, and my little granddaughter came near me and said, "Could I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Are you to speak tomorrow?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Any objection?" She said, "Well, Big Daddy, don't speak all the morning now." I said, "I'll try not to." And it made me think about many, many years ago, there at Bowie, where I served as president, we had a speaker one morning for the students. We always try to bring in motivational speakers every once in a while. And the gentleman went on and on and on. And the students became a little restless. Finally, the gentleman looked and he said, "They didn't tell me how long to speak and I don't have a watch." And one student yelled out, "There's a calendar on the wall." I was a little embarrassed, but at the same time, that did tell him something, that it was time for him to sit down, and that he did. Young brother Statham read for us Psalm 122, one of my favorite psalms. And it had in it a word that we're going to be concentrating on this morning. And that is service with joy and gladness. Because David himself said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." He was glad when they said that. And I just wondered, how are we feeling on today? How do we feel every day? We're Christians. We've been baptized into Christ Jesus. Our sins have been washed away. We've been given a promise that if we are faithful unto death, there's a crown of righteousness that awaits us. How happy we should be to know that. As Christians, we should be very happy. We should be pleased to know that. I'm always happy and excited when the privilege comes to me to speak the word of God to brethren of like faith. My audience this morning is made up of saints, Christians, people who have weathered the storm and are in the midst of weathering the storm. People who should be joyful, full of joy, and full of happiness, and ready at all times to smile and let people know how you feel because Christ Jesus abides in you. You are free from sin because you've paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us. And if you are faithful unto death, a crown of righteousness, as I said a while ago, awaits you. Because you were baptized into Christ Jesus. You've put on Christ, we're told, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. No more are you that sad person, but you are a joyful person. Joy comes to everybody. You know, I've lived long enough to have known an old black preacher back in Nashville, Tennessee, by the name of Marshall Keeble. I've talked with him. And Marshall Keeble said that one time he was made very joyful because he was conducting a meeting, a gospel meeting under a tent. In the state of Texas. And he said that he was preaching, and it became, well, he got a little loud in his preaching. And the neighbors objected to him being out there, and they called a policeman. And Marshal Keeble said when he saw the policeman car roll up, he didn't become frightened. He was glad to see them because he said to himself, maybe they can hear a little something that will be a benefit to them. And they came in. And they began to listen. They got a little closer and they listened. A little closer and they listened. He said, when I extended the invitation, do you not know? They walked down that aisle and I baptized both of them that night. What a joy he must have experienced to baptize two policemen who came out to arrest him. Friend, we should be happy this morning. No more sadness, but joy in our lives. Oh, yes. There's going to be times of sadness, but we can go to the Lord in prayer. And he has promised to hear our prayers. No more sickness, oh yes. We're going to be sick. We're going to be deathly sick at times. But we can call on the Lord even in our sickness. We would have sickness. But our high priest can be touched with our infirmities. We need to know that. And regardless of how we are suffering, just pray to the Lord. You might feel a little better. I've done that, and I felt better. Daily, we should be rejoicing in the hope, in the patience, in the tribulations, continuing instantly in prayer. And do you not know when you continue in prayer, you're happy. You are joyful. You do not have the sad face, but you are full of joy and happiness. Romans 8 and 8 through 17. He lets us know that we're children of God, heirs of God, heirs of promise. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means something. To be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now let's begin to look at some things this morning. We're going to be talking about daily community living. Occupation or your position in life. Whether a school scholar, student, or whether out on job working. The use of our leisure time and worship. I want to point out that in each of these instances, there should be happiness on our part. Yes, in our community, we need to live in such a way as to let our neighbor know that something has happened to us. We've been baptized into Christ Jesus. We're not the lemon now, but we are cheerful. We are bubbling over with happiness. They might ask you sometime, why are you so happy? And let them know why you are happy. That Jesus has come into your life. We've been in the place where we are right now for 35 years. And the man right across the street from me, I feel so sorry for him from time to time. He won't even look at me. I've never had a chance to even converse with him because he never looks at me. Oh, well, maybe my wife has a different personality than I. He talks with her. But he never talks to me. In our community, we need to carry ourselves in such a way that we would not be that man. And maybe sometime I just need to put my lawnmower down or whatever I'm doing and go over and talk to him. But he won't look at me. If he ever does, I will do that. If I have a chance. But it just says that, yes, people some time will act that way. But we are children of God, and we cannot act that way. We are a different people. We are a happy people. From time to time, I'm singing around the house. And my wife will say, "Why do you sing all the time?" I sing because I'm happy. I sing because joy has come into my life. And it makes me feel better to just sing a song. The songs that we sing here at church during the services. During the week, I find myself singing those songs to myself just around the house there because I'm happy. I will be outside and I will be singing those songs. Next door neighbor, man across the fence from me, behind me now, heard me singing one day and asked me about a song that I was singing, and I told him about that song. People, we need to be happy. Take that sadness away. Well, the Lord will wonder, am I not in your life? Then why are you so sad? But be happy. The songs that we have sung this morning are songs of happiness. Songs of joy. Don't forget to pray and pray without ceasing. Psalm 119 and 164. You know, in that psalm, David said he prayed 7 times a day. 7 times a day. Do you not know that Daniel went to the lion's den because he was praying? Those people who worked with him were envious of him. They saw him praying. They went and had the Persian law to be applied to him. As a matter of fact, they asked the king of Persia to make that law in order that they could trick Daniel. Yes, they caught him praying. And they cast him into the lion's den. Daniel was happy while he was praying. And on the way to the lion's den, he may have looked saddened to the king of Persia. The old king of Persia hated to do it when he found out that David is the one, that Daniel is the one that I'm casting into the lion's den. And he looked at him and he said, "The God that you serve continually, Daniel, will take care of you." And the next morning, the king couldn't wait to get out there. And the first person he saw was Daniel. And Daniel said, "The angels came down from heaven and stopped the mouths of the lions. And I'm here this morning." I'm paraphrasing, but it was said in somewhat just that manner, that I'm here this morning because the angels closed the mouths of those lions and I was not eaten. We need to be happy in our community like little children are happy. Oh, how I like to look at little children who are very happy and gay. And most of the time we see them as little children who are happy. Jesus said, "Unless you becometh as a little child, you cannot even enter into heaven." Matthew 18. I can read that entire chapter. And it talks about those little children. You know, Damon and Tayshia have a little boy. And it gets a joy out of me to see that little fellow smiling. I would pass by him. I believe he recognizes me. And he would give that little smile. We all need to be full of smiles and ready to greet people in the same way that that child greets one. Do we talk? Let's look at our work situations and ask ourselves the question, while on the job, do we talk to our neighbors, those persons who are working right beside us? Do they learn anything from us? Do they see us as happy people or sad people with our mouth poked out? try to be happy. Try to be joyful day by day. Let them know, if they ask you why you're so joyful, that God worked with me. They may want to be like you. Do we talk to our workers about the pleasure and the joy that we receive from worshiping God? Be worshipers of God. Students, what about that person that sits next to you in school who's not doing so well? Do you reach over and try to help him? Mark Ostroff tells a story about a young man that he helped once in school many, many years ago. And the success that that young man has enjoyed even today from the help that he gave him. Students, you may help out also. I helped a young man through high school. And that young man never stopped telling people how I assisted him while he was in high school. He passed away not many years ago. But his mother told me the last time I saw her, he still talked about how you helped him get through high school. So be someone, students, who will reach out to others and give them a help, because someone has helped you along the way. So do your best to help others. We need to look at how we spend our leisure time. How do we spend that leisure time, students and people? Even our leisure should be spent in joy, peace, and happiness. Find something that is exciting to you at all times and try your hardest to live a peaceful and a happy life. I get to thinking about Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite, he is called. Let's go back and read 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. How the old Elijah used a little bit of, let me say, satire, a fun he had with the prophets of that day. But he found that the people were worshiping idols. And Elijah was trying to get them to worship God. And one time Elijah said to them, how long hop I between two opinions? That if Baal be God, then follow him. But if the Lord be God, then follow him. And he said to those false prophets, let's look to God and see what God will do for us. And I'm going to narrate this. He took bullocks and had them cut up and put over here on a pile on an altar. And he said to the false gods, call your gods to come down and fire with fire and burn this altar up. Old false prophet began to call. From morning until noon, he called. Oh, Baal, come, he said. But Baal did not come. Then Elijah wanted to have a little fun. He said, maybe your God is asleep. But let me say to you, our God does not go to sleep. Our God is awake at all time, and he's there to help us. Then he said, maybe your God is off on a journey. Our God does not take journeys. Well, peradventure, he is pursuing something else. Our God pursues us. And not that something else that we might be thinking about. And then old Elijah said, when he had finished, when the false prophets had finished, they had cut themselves and blood came from them. But they still could not get fire to come down. And Elijah looked at the altar and he said, pour 4 barrels of water on it. They poured the 4 barrels of water Then he said, pour four more barrels. They poured four more barrels. Do you not know he called for a third four barrels, making 12 barrels of water? Then he spoke to the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. Come down and burn the altar. And fire came down and burnt that altar. Yes, Elijah had a little fun that day, I suppose. We need to have fun day by day in the Lord. We need to pursue those things that make for peace, that make for joy, and that make for happiness in our lives. And then let's look at our worship. Our worship should always be with happiness, not with sadness. So think about how the Lord went to the cross of Calvary, giving up his life that we might have the church. Yes, we should be happy day by day. You know, when we look at the church today, again, we can go back to old Daniel. Daniel, back in Daniel 2, began to talk about the church. Someone might say, you mean to tell me Daniel knew something about the church? In the interpretation of the dream that person had, Nebuchadnezzar called on Daniel to interpret that dream. Daniel, in short, I'm going to just tell you the story. In the second chapter of Daniel, began to tell him what he saw. He said, in your dream, you saw an image with a head made of gold. He said, O king, that's you. You don't know what you're occupying today. You're occupying the Lord's kingdom. Head of gold. Then he went on and he said, you saw later on in that dream, in that image, the breastplate and the arms, and they were of silver. And he said, that's the next kingdom that's coming in. That kingdom came in as the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And then he said, there's going to be another kingdom. He said, you saw the belly and the legs of this image, and they were of brass. That is Greece, when Alexander would come in. Then he said, you saw later on the legs in this image, and that would be the Roman Empire. Daniel even told him about the toes. They're going to be the toes, meaning that the Roman Empire would begin to break up. And it did begin to break up. And the Senate came in. They were aggravated with the Caesars and the Herods. They began to try to take over. And in that time, Jesus came into being. In the days of these kings, verse 44 said, the God of heaven will establish a kingdom. And it shall not be left to other people, but it shall consume and break into pieces all other kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. And let me tell you, that kingdom did come into being. That kingdom was the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we find back in Matthew 16, and 18, that Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, and it will not be destroyed by other people. Did Jesus build his church? Yes, he built that church. We find that while he was here on this earth, he made mention in the book of Luke to his apostles, I want you to tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endued from power, with power from on high. Then we find them waiting around there in Jerusalem. And it was on the day of Pentecost. And we're told in Acts 2 that on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place and with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the place where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues and sat upon each of them. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews and devout men of every nation under the sun. When this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together. They wanted to know, are not all these who speak Galileans? How hear we them in our own tongues wherein we were born? But they heard that day. The church came into being. We know 3,000 people were gathered there on that day because 3,000 were baptized. Those brethren said, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. I suppose they were so happy to know that even though we have crucified the Lord, now there's something we can do to get rid of our sins. We can be baptized into Christ Jesus. And 3,000 of them were baptized. And the scripture tells us in Acts 2:47 that God added them to the church. You can be added to the church this morning if you do the same thing. You must hear the gospel. You've heard the gospel. You must believe what you've heard. You must repent of your sins. Luke said, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So repent of your sins. A good example would be the eunuch sitting in his chariot. He was a happy man that morning. Sitting there reading the scripture. Reading Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? To whom are the arms of the Lord revealed? But he didn't understand what he was reading. And Philip drew near unto him. And Philip said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip got up in that unit in the chariot with him and taught him Jesus Christ. And as that chariot was rolling along, that eunuch said, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And they commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. You want to be baptized this morning like that eunuch was? You know you can do that. The water is back there. Why don't you come and put Christ on in baptism? Leave here a happy person. I hope you're happy this morning. But leave here happy, more happy than you are, because you have established a home in heaven. This home on this earth is going to perish. You'll have to leave here. But you will have a home that you can go to that never fades away. A crown of righteousness that never fade away. Why don't you come? As we stand and sing the song which has been selected as the hymnal of invitation this morning.